Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway Community Church. Praise the Lord in the house today. I'm so glad to see you at Owens Mills, Reisterstown. So glad to see you online, in your kitchen, in your car, wherever you may be. We who are here have an opportunity to worship God in the house of the Lord. Put your hands together right there where you are. Let's thank the Lord for the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. Well, you caught us in the middle of a three-week series called A Better Start. Last week, we talked about saying goodbye to yesterday. Today, we're going to talk about saying hello to new mercies. Next week, we'll end it with I'm just getting started. After that, we have the State of the Church address, an annual address we give every year at this time to catch us up on our theme and how we're doing. And then after that, we get to February where we have our winter guest speaker series, and I'm so excited about our winter guest speaker series. We're going to kick it off with Dr. Timothy Clinton, followed by Pastor John Jenkins, followed by Dr. Ilona Proy, who was with us from Albania a year ago, followed by comedian Michael Jr. So we're going to have a great guest speaker series this winter. I'd like to thank Will Eastham for reading the Word of God and Pastor Michener and Owens Mills. And now what I want to do is open us in a word of prayer, and we'll get started with today's message, Hello to New Mercies. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the Word of God is our spiritual food. And we ask as we go into your word that your word would go into us. I pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would take this word and make it a rhema word in our particular situation. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray together. Everyone said amen and amen. Back in the 1980s, First Lady Nancy Reagan, the spouse of the popular president Ronald Reagan in the 80s, started a campaign against drugs, and it was called the Say No to Drugs campaign. And while it may have been somewhat successful, it wasn't as successful as it could have been, because we find out that if you say no to something without having something to say yes to, it leaves a void. And when you're trying to start a new habit or break an old habit, you can't just break the old one and not put something in place of it, or that vacuum will be filled by something that may not be as healthy. And so while we said goodbye to yesterday, we want to talk to you today about how to say hello to something else. But it's biblical too when you think about it. God doesn't just say no to something without saying yes to something else. Throughout scripture we find it, like in Romans chapter 12 verse 9, where God says, hate evil but cling to what is good. Or God may say something about your talking or your lying or your stealing, like, hey, listen, stop lying. But then what he'll say is, what I want you to do is start speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Or he might say, stop stealing, in Ephesians 4, 28, but start working. And so you don't just stop one thing, you have to start something else. Or he might talk about your talking. Don't let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but then how do you replace it? By making sure that when you speak, you say something that is beneficial to the hearer, something that is building other people up. So he speaks to us about not only what not to do, but how to replace it with something that we should do. Don't be angry all the time. Get rid of bitterness, rage, and anger. But he says in Ephesians 4:32, but be kind, be compassionate to one another. Or he may say in Ephesians 5, don't get drunk with wine. But he doesn't stop there. He says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we see that he's always trying to replace something. In Colossians 3, he may say, take off those old clothes, those old habits, those old practices. But what I want you to do is put on some new clothes, new habits, compassion, forgiveness, love, new practices. Don't just say no, say yes to something else. I think it's Romans 12, 2, where he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you see, it's important for us to say goodbye to yesterday. But we have to be able to say hello to something else. So today, we're going to talk about saying hello to new mercies. But not just new mercies, there's a few other things we'll say hello to as well. Now, in order to take you there, let me transition you to the scriptures. And the book I'm going to take you to is the book of Lamentations. If you have a copy of the Word or a smartphone or maybe right there at your home with your computer at your desk, go to Lamentations chapter 3. This is the passage that was just read to you from the Message. I'll be reading it from my Bible I've been preaching from for a long time. It's the New International Version from 1984. Lamentations is found right after the book of Jeremiah, just in case your pages are stuck together there, all right? Come on, find it. It's in the Old Testament. You don't know how to get to it. Go to the table of contents, find the number, get there with me, okay? The Word of God. Lamentations chapter 3. Now, it's written by the prophet Jeremiah, who's sort of known as the weeping prophet. I mean, anybody who writes a book called Lamentations, that's pretty bad. To lament, to grieve, something none of us want to do or like to do. But he's grieving for himself, for his people. He just got some sadness all in him. That's what God called him to be, a prophet, even in the midst of his own mental and emotional state. And now as he writes the book of Lamentations, from verses 19 to 26, we'll kind of land there, but before we get there, understand the first 18 verses will give you somewhat of a background or a context. What he says is, listen, life is so bad that I feel like I have no help. I feel like I have no hope. Life is so sad, I feel like not even God is helping me. In fact, maybe God is helping me to be in this bad state. You look at verse 8, you look at verse 11. Check it out what it says, Lamentations 3:8. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayers. You ever feel like that? I cry out for help and it's like no one's home. It's like God's not listening. No help. Verse 11, pick it up at verse 10. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. Wow. He's not only not helping me, he's the one that dragged me off the path and put me in this situation. Do you know anybody who thinks like that? The reality is you might go through a time in your life where you feel like God's against you and not for you. You might feel like, God, no one's helping me here. I'm crying out to you. You're not listening. Bear in the lions pulling me off the path, mangling me, and then I cry out, you just leave me there. You're no help. Maybe there's somebody today who felt like, you know what, I'm in a helpless situation, but not just a helpless one. He feels like he's in a hopeless one. The first 11 verses, he feels helpless, but verses 12 through 18, he feels hopeless. Check out verse 18. In fact, we can pick it up at 17. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped from the Lord. All I'd hoped, no hope. My splendor's gone. My hope's gone. So Jeremiah is telling us, I have no help. I have no hope. And no help plus no hope equals no happiness. I'm not happy. I'm sad. In other words, what Jeremiah is feeling is darkness, depression, downcast. And maybe I'm speaking to someone today who knows what Jeremiah feels like. You know what it's like to feel helpless. You know what it's like to feel hopeless. You know what it's like to be in a deep pit of despair. Other people may not even understand it. You look so happy on the outside, but when you go home, you lay your head on your pillow and the tears fall from the side of your eyes onto the pillow. And then you wake up in the middle of the night and you find the crust on your eyes being coated again with new tears. And you get to a point by the morning time that you feel like you have no more tears left. The pain is so deep in your gut, you just feel a sense of grief and you feel a sense of confusion in your mind. Other people may not understand it, but you've been in that dark place. You've been in that deep pit of despair. Your soul has been so downcast, you don't know if you want to live another day. And you know you have a relationship with God, but it seems like God is mute. It seems like God is silent. It seems like God has left you, and it seems like he has just somehow abandoned you in that moment. And this is exactly where Jeremiah is before we pick it up at verse 19. And if you've ever been in this place, that this message is going to encourage you, because we're going to find out what Jeremiah did to move from helplessness to help, from hopelessness to hope. We're going to learn what Jeremiah did, and this is what you can do. And it's not just for you, friends. It's for your friends. It's for your family member. It's for your spouse. It's for your kids. It's for your grandparents. It's for that coworker who's in that dark place, and you're the light that God brought to be in that place. And you need to know what Jeremiah did, and you need to take the two things that he did to help them when they're in their moment. So what two things did Jeremiah do to get out of this pit of depression? The first thing he did was he called to his mind. Let me explain. Pick it up at verse 19. It says this: I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. In verse 19, he says, I remember my wandering and my gall. In verse 20, he says, I will remember. Let me tell you something. We said last week, forget the former things, Isaiah 43, and do not dwell on the past. What Jeremiah is doing, he's saying, I'm remembering all of that, and guess what it did to me? It made my soul downcast. If you remember and dwell and nurse and chew on all the negativity of life, it will sink your battleship. It will sink your soul. The reason why some of our souls are dark and deep in the pit of loneliness and despair is because our mind keeps remembering the negative things. And what Jeremiah had to do is he had to get to verse 21. Check it out. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. What happened? He began to call to his mind, because you remember with your mind, but you can also call to your mind certain things that will help battle the negativity in your heart. So what did he do? He says, I called to my mind. What did he call to his mind that gave him hope? Well, let's see. Verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. He called on his mind to remember that God is a God of love. Secondly, he says, for his compassions or his mercies never fail. So he calls to his mind the character of God. that God is loving, that God is compassionate and merciful, and you pick it up, verse 23, they are new every morning, talking about his compassions and his mercies. Great is your what? Faithfulness. The way that Jeremiah is going to battle his depression is first he's going to call to his mind the truths about God, that God is loving, that God is compassionate and merciful, that God is faithful. The enemy is going to try to get you in that dark pit to make you think that God no longer loves you. And so what you have to do is you have to call to your mind the truth about God, that nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Romans 8 says that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future or powers, neither height nor depth, or anything in all of creation shall separate me from the love that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be reminded of what the Word of God says, and you've got to call it to mind, because the enemy is going to lie to you day in and day out to tell you that there's no help, that there's no hope, that there is no Holy One who is there to be with you and to comfort you. He's forgotten you. He doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. So you've got to call to mind the truth and the character about God, and that is God loves you. And nothing will ever separate you from the love of Almighty God. You got to call to your mind that God is compassionate, that he's merciful. You know, Psalm 103 says he doesn't even treat us as our sins deserve. That's what mercy is. Grace is giving you really the favor that you don't deserve, but mercy is not giving you what you do deserve. Let me show it to you back to the scriptures. You want to go back to the scriptures? Psalm 103, keep your finger in Lamentations and go to Psalm 103 and see what it says about the very compassion and the very mercies of God. Psalm 103, let's pick it up at verse 8. The word of the Lord. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Thank you, Jesus. That's mercy. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, thank you, Jesus, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And as far as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Can you imagine a God who knows everything about you, who knows all of your sins, all of your failures, all of your flaws, and not yours, but your parents' parents, all the way through all the generations of whatever your last name is. And yet this same God says, listen, as far as the heavens are from the earth, and as far as the east is from the west, that's a long way, right? I have separated you from your sins. I've thrown them into, like someone sang one time, into the sea of forgetfulness. And so what Jeremiah had to do when he was in a deep and dark place is he had to call to his mind the character and the truth of God. And he says, God is loving. God is compassionate and and he's merciful. And then he says he's faithful. That his mercies, his compassion are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Anybody thankful for the faithfulness of Almighty God? Anybody at Owens Mills thankful for the Almighty faithful God? Jeremiah says he's faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, you've got to call to your mind. You see, you've got to take those negative thoughts captive and make them obedient to the mind of Christ. You have to stop thinking on the natural level and start thinking on the spiritual level. Set your mind on things above and remind your mind that God is loving, even when it doesn't feel like it. Remind your mind that God is merciful and compassionate, even when it doesn't feel like it. Remind your mind that God is faithful, even when it doesn't feel like it. But that's only the first thing that Jeremiah did. He called to his mind, but he did something else. And this may be a challenge for some of you, but I'm telling you, this is going to free you. When you go back to Lamentations 3, and you pick it up at verse 24. Jeremiah says in Lamentations 3:24, I say to myself, you ever had to say something to yourself? See, the first thing he did is he called to his mind. But the second thing he did is he called to his mouth. You see, sometimes you have to say things to yourself. You ever have a meeting when the only three people there was me, myself, and I? We're going to have a committee meeting right now. There's sometimes you not only have to call to your mind, you have to call to your mouth. He said, I had to say something to myself. You ever had to say something to yourself? You have to ever have to give yourself a pep talk? What Jeremiah did is he's like, look, I had to get my mind right, but then I had to get my mouth right. Because what happens is sometimes you get your mind right, but then your mouth vetoes everything your mind. God is love, but then you're going to be like, but he's abandoned me. God is merciful, yeah, but I think he's really getting me back for my sins the other night. God is done with me. And we start canceling out the very thing when we call to our mind the truth about God. We come to church and we hear the truth about God. But then you've got to move it from your mind to your mouth. And so he says, listen, not only did I call to my mind, I had to speak to myself, y'all. I had to talk to myself. They may think you crazy when you start talking to yourself. Just don't answer yourself back, okay? But what did he say? I, verse 24, said to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. First thing he says is, the Lord is my portion. In other words, God is enough. The Lord is enough, so much so he's worth waiting on. I'm going to wait for him. I'm not going to do it on my own. I'm not going to try to do it for myself. I need to call to my mouth that God is enough. And then he makes a declaration, because he's enough, I will wait for him. See, what happens, the enemy wants you to take matters into your own hands. But now that he's called to his mind the truth about God's character, and now that he reminds himself that God is enough, he's worth waiting on. Maybe, just maybe, we can call out on Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, that says, they that wait on the Lord shall mount up on wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. God is worth waiting on. But you've got a call to your mouth. Lord, you are enough. I know I want this, but I have to believe that you are enough right now and that you will hold me and keep me until my change comes. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I am not going to fret. I am going to trust God that until my change comes, I'm going to speak with my mouth that my change is on the way, that you are enough, that you are my portion. I may want a baby now, but God, you know when the child needs to be born and what generation he needs to be born in. So even though I want to be pregnant now, I will wait on you. Even though I want to be married now, I will wait on you. Even though I want to start this business now, I will wait on you. You are my portion. You are enough. I will wait. I will wait. I will wait on you. But he doesn't stop there. He calls to his mouth. A, the Lord is my portion. Here's the last thing. I love it. Check out the next verse. Verse 25. The Lord is good. To those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. He says, the Lord is good. And so when you think about this, he calls to his mind, and then he calls to his mouth, and he says, God, you're enough. God, you are good. You know, I like when believers say God is good, and then what's the response? All the time, and all the time. Let's try it again. God is good, and all the time. One more time. God is good, and all the time. The Bible says he is good a lot. The enemy says he's not good a lot. And so you see, you have to do what Revelation 12:10 says, that they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus, and by the word of their testimony. He already shed his blood, so that's the blood of the Lamb. Now we have to use the word of our testimony. Sometimes you've got to speak with your mouth. You can't just believe it in your heart and in your mind. You've got to open your mouth, and you've got to declare what is true about God. He said that he called and said to himself that the Lord is my portion, and then he made a declaration. I will. Whenever you see I will, that is a declaration. It's a prophetic declaration. I will wait on the Lord. When you call to your mouth the truth about God, go ahead and declare with that same mouth what you're going to do on that truth. I will do what the word of God says. And if you take these five truths about God and remember them with your mind, rehearse them with your mouth. It will help you when your soul is downcast like Jeremiah. He wanted to commit suicide. He even says in one part of his book, Jeremiah, that he cursed the day he was born. It seems like those with the name that begins with the J are suicidal. Job wished in the deepest, darkest place of his life that his mother never gave birth to him. Jeremiah cursed the day that he was born. Judas actually did it. And some might even argue Jesus. While he may not have been suicidal, he knew his death was coming and he let it happen because of the purpose of God. Jeremiah must have had a difficult road. And I realize that some of you may have a difficult road. Whether you're here in Columbia, there in Owens Mills, or online in your bedroom right now, or in your living room watching on your TV, in your kitchen or in your car, the reality is, you go through times, and you know people who go through times of great darkness. And if you do the two things that Jeremiah did, this is going to help you in those dark moments. Remember with your mind who God is. Rehearse with your mouth who God is. Those five truths about God. That God is love. God is compassionate and merciful. That God is faithful. That God is enough. And that God is good. So practically, how do I say hello to his new mercies? Well, every day, you can pray this. You can pray, good morning, Lord. I receive your new mercies today, and I thank you. They are mine. I walk in those new mercies. And by the way, thank God for new mercies. Because I used up all the old ones. Anybody use up all the old mercies? Ain't you glad they knew every morning? Because, man, if I was relying on the supply of yesterday's mercies, I don't even know if I'd be in church today. But each morning, he has new mercies waiting for me to take care of what I did yesterday and to supply me with what I need today. So pray that. Lord, I receive, I embrace, and I thank you for your new mercies. Every day, every morning, no matter what you pray, pray that. Because that's a declaration you're receiving what God is offering you. Say hello to those new mercies. Maybe reaffirm those other things we talked about regarding God, his love and his compassion and the fact that he is enough for today, whatever you need for your daily bread. So I'd say, practically speaking, pray that. I would also say not only pray that, but say this. Say God is good. Begin to use with your mouth declarations about God and say it to other believers. You know, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, Proverbs 27:17. And it also says that we have to encourage one another with these words in Hebrew and in Hebrews and in 1 Thessalonians 4:5. Encourage one another with these words. We ought to be able to have these kind of responses. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Verbalize it. People need to hear you verbalize the truth about God because you don't know what the enemy's been saying to them all day. So you go to the 7-Eleven, you go to the Starbucks, you go to the gas station, you go to work. When someone says, man, hey, how you doing? I always like to say I'm alive and grateful. Or the Lord is good. Or God's been good to me. What about you? People need to hear that. And when you know that there's another believer, even if you don't know, they will respond in kind. If they're not a believer, they'll just be like, oh, wow. They need to hear that input into their mind and into their brain and sometimes even into their spirit and into their heart. So pray and receive the mercies of God. Say the truth about God. And for some of you, whether you have a voice or not, you can sing. You know, those who are filled with the Spirit, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You can just sing. No one's listening to you in the shower. Make a joyful noise to the Lord in your car. Roll the windows up. It's okay. Sing something that's going to reaffirm the truth about God. Like this one. Some of you will know it, some of you won't. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh Lord, great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, oh Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Sometimes when you sing, it begins to move to your spirit. You want to sing this one with me? Great is thy faithfulness, oh God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Come on, Omar. Thou changest, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever with. Stand up and sing the chorus with me. Come on. Great is thy faithfulness. Great. Great is thy faith. Morning by morning. By morning, new mercies. All I have needed. All I have needed thy hand. Great is thy faith. Great, come on. Great is thy faith. One more time. Great. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto. Come on, give God a hand right there in the house at Owens Mills, right in your house, right in this house. Let me turn that service over in Owens Mills to Pastor Michener now. In our pastoral residence, Will Easton's going to come out and send you out with a couple of words and a benediction. But just one more time, and let it sink into your spirit right now. Are you ready? Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Come on, give God a great big hand for a great big faithful God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.